Welcome to the Farm to Table Talk podcast, where we talk about our food system from what we eat to how it's grown. I'm your host, Roger Wasson. Well, building a healthy future, that's a big, big goal, and it's the goal of the Partnership for a Healthier America. To explain how they're going to accomplish that and really start off with who they are, why they're going after it, I have Drew Nannis, and he is the Chief Marketing Officer for the Partnership for a Healthier America. Drew, I'm really glad you're able to sit down and join us on Farm to Table Talk. Tell me what you're up to. What's this all about? What are these lofty goals that you have with this organization?
Sure. Well, first, it's great to be here. Second, we were founded to help end the childhood obesity epidemic. So certainly a lofty goal, as you mentioned, and we were founded to do it within a generation. So we've got a timeline that we need to adhere to. For PHA, we focus on working with the private sector and making that happen. And that's both a supply-side issue and a demand-side issue. On the supply side, we work with companies to reformulate product, improve marketing, changing pricing structure, make sure that we can make the healthy choice the easy choice for as many people as possible. Make sure those options are there. Make sure that they're invading the marketplace. So if somebody wants to make a healthier option, there's no issue, and they're able to do that. Certainly a goal that we're still striving towards. We've got over 200 partners now. We've been in existence for about 6 years. Our partners range from very large and well-known brands like Walmart, Nike, and Reebok, and Dannon, down to somewhat smaller or lesser-known supply-side players. For instance, yesterday we announced McLane, which isn't really a consumer brand, but is the largest supplier of food to both convenience stores and to grocery stores in the country. 90,000 of them get their stuff from McLane. So when McLane makes healthier options easier for their customers to buy, we expect to see those translated onto the shelf. And that's all on the supply side work, and that's work that's very core to what we do. On the other side, we do demand side work, campaigns like FNV and Drink Up, where we look to spark consumer demand and not only make sure that those things are on the shelves when we work behind the scenes, but so that when consumers are walking into those stores, they're seeing, they're desiring, and they're picking and purchasing and consuming.
Well, you know, that's pretty ambitious. Now, and one other thing I think that strikes me when you start explaining this is that this has been tried before. I mean, there have been efforts to say that people need to eat better than they are and our kids need to be healthier than they are. None of them have really gotten traction. They haven't had impact. You have some notable differences, and you've been explaining one of them, tying into these major companies that are jumping in, and you're convincing them to jump in. I'm wondering if you're having any help to get them to jump in from some of your high-profile supporters. Rumor has it that the First Lady is a big fan, or she's involved in somewhat of an official capacity?
Yeah, she is. She's our honorary chair. And certainly her involvement is welcome and extremely helpful. But I think if you look at the real genesis of our success, it comes with consumer demand. I think if you look over the last 8 to 10 years, consumer demand is definitely shifting in a way where more customers are looking for those products. The reality is, and we say this all the time, if this were a matter of companies stepping up saying, okay, I'm going to reformulate a product, or I'm going to try to make the healthy choice the easy choice in some way because I'm going to do this for a couple years and I'm just going to check that box and get my moment in the sun with my press release and call it a day, I don't think we would still be here. What's happening, of course, is twofold. First of all, as PHA, we don't let them do that. They have to sign a contract that they're going to do what they say they're going to do, and we actually print their progress annually to the public, and they can't stop that. So there is a sense of they're going to want to make sure this happens. But the reality is they're making money, and that's fine by us. We want to see consumers rewarding healthier options on the shelf. And if those partners that are making the healthy choice, the easy choice, aren't making more money at the same time, they're going to stop. And there's really nothing around that. So first of all, it's part of the reason why we started that demand work, because we knew we needed to work on both sides of the equation. But I think our success is emblematic of a consumer base that is shifting its mindset and looking at the range of options. And with all the other media that's bombarding and other campaigns, like you mentioned, that may have been successful, may not have been successful, I think it all adds up. And you've got that, plus you've got curriculum work going on in schools. Of course, you've got the First Lady, who whenever she speaks, everybody listens. And that all comes together. I mean, one of the things that you've heard here at the summit for the last 2 days is there is no silver bullet. One of these things alone is not going to do this.
So you've got some powerful supporters. You've got a business sense. You've got a proposition that's saying if you're a marketing person, you can look at this and say this is not just a charity. This is a good business proposition that you need to be there. You need to be developing these products and help us get the word out. But now that brings up one other element that I think you get, and that's the support you've had from other celebrities. And many of us would be impressed that you've got Steph Curry. I mean, he's in demand as one of the top spokespersons for almost anything, I think, right now. How does that go? I mean, did they just jump in and say, I think that this makes sense and I'm going to help out?
Well, I think it's a few things. I mean, first of all, I think we have offered them an easy way to say this is important to me and I want to show that this is important to me. So we allow them to do that. I think the other piece is we've got a lot of celebrities who live this way. They look for healthier options. They live a healthy lifestyle. Certainly the athletes are – it's necessary for them. And so finding a way to sync that up with their natural sort of day-to-day is certainly helpful. But I would go back again to the consumer issue, right? Steph Curry signed on to support FNV, and he supported water, but Brita's paying him, right? Brita is paying him as a spokesperson to push water. And he said, you know what? I can get paid by anybody, but I'm going to pick these guys because it's core to my belief. And kudos to Brita to stepping up and saying, you know what? We're going to invest in this. This has value to us. And for them to step forward and Steph to pick them, I mean, the whole thing just comes together. And it's, I mean, you've heard it more than once for the last few days because it's a great story for us. But it's really something special. And the 70 celebrities for FNV, Jessica Alba, Cam Newton, who has just played a video on our stage. We've got Summer Sanders, Bob Harbour, and Victor Cruz on there right now as you and I are speaking. That's important. And that celebrity power is critical. I mean, we know that people are just going to buy and do things when the celebrities are involved. And as consumers, we sort of sit there and go, no, I can't be swayed. I won't be affected by that. But the numbers tell a very different story. And so we leverage that.
Well, you also have a graphic, of course, that's FNV, and so it's just like fruit and vegetables, I guess, fruit and vegetables, and it's a really nice, clean graphic. Do you hope to have that cross-identified somehow or have people use that in addition to their brand logo and with their products?
So FNV, as you mentioned, is a brand new consumer brand, and it's got those 70 celebrities who are supporting it. For us, it is part of that high-level discussion with the consumer, specifically millennials. I think there's a lot of campaigns out there, and we believe this as a core. You see it in Drink Up, too. There's a lot of campaigns out there that spend a lot of time educating the consumer. A lot of time, well, this is why you should eat carrots or drink more water or, you know, go to produce. And, you know, the consumer mindset, especially the millennial consumer mindset, isn't swayed by that sort of an argument, especially in that 10-second attention span that we're looking at, and 10 seconds is probably giving them a lot of credit. What we needed, we felt, was a high-level brand discussion. When you look at FNV and what we put out through our social media, through our advertising, through our earned press, there's no eat more veggies. There's no make sure you get, you know, this many servings a day or this many ounces or what it is. It's, you know, fruits and veggies now with more marketing power and a picture of Steph Curry with a basketball, right? It is a very high-level brand touch. First of all, because we know that the produce brands are going to market on their own, right? And they should. And we want that to exist, and we don't want to get in the way of that. But we need to get rid of this knee-jerk reaction on the younger side of the millennial of, well, that's produce and I want it. And on the older end of the millennial scale where the young moms are, we need to make sure that we're being relevant and peppering that in and telling them to eat carrots because it's good for their eyes or whatever. And I'm picking on carrots, so forgive me. Mm-hmm. That's not going to engage a consumer. It never has and it never will. So Drink Up and FNV have taken the tact of saying, look, we're going to work with top-end marketers. We're going to work with advertising companies from Madison Avenue. We're going to work with research from Nielsen and NMI and NPD and all these huge consumer groups. And we're going to use that expertise to push this healthier product.
Well, I want to ask you, let's pull the farmers in now. Yeah. Now, the farmers that are producing fruits and vegetables, and they have a lot to gain from this, too. I mean, if they people can eat healthy and they can produce more fruits and vegetables. Many of them have councils and boards funded with checkoffs where they are assessing themselves to promote their industry. Do you expect to see them consider participating or incorporating FNV into their promotion efforts funded by the farmers?
Some of them already are. Produce Marketing Association has been a founding partner, as has Avocados from Mexico. And we're open and have had discussions with lots of them. And hopefully, as FNV continues to build, we'll bring more and more of them on. Because as you say, the more produce we can promote, the more produce they can sell, the better the farmers are, the better the companies are, the better the packagers are, the better the suppliers are. It all rolls together. And so we can do this at a very high level. We don't really have the ability to do this on a city by city, market by market level, but at a high national point, we can get it done.
So, taking it into the stores, then the supermarkets and to restaurants, do you expect to see the FNV logo tied in on menus or that sort of thing?
Well, we haven't really talked a lot about menus yet. I think I'd like to see it, sort of there. I do wonder if you're in a restaurant setting and you're looking at a menu, would you need to be told that this was a fruit and veggie or a vegetarian? We don't want to get into that space, right? We're not looking to be an alternative to other proteins. We just want to promote fruits and veggies, right? We're never comparative. We're never negative. On the retail side, we absolutely have to be there. The decision to purchase at those places, not only in the big box retailers, but in convenience stores and corner stores and bodegas as well. Our research has shown over the last year that those moments are just as critical, if not arguably more critical, because of the shopper profile there than those big box grocers.
Well, Drew, you have a title of Chief Marketing Officer, and that is all just being that kind of marketing. It implies, too, that you pay attention to metrics. I mean, that's all part of marketing today, that we're going to do all these good things, but it's not just from a promotion standpoint. It's kind of like, how do we measure results? What are you going to look at to see whether or not you're successful at what you're doing?
Well, it's always a challenge. I think if you look at Drink Up, we've got a few different ways of doing it. We've got consumption numbers from national panels that come in. Tap is very hard to track any other way. Once it goes into the house, we really don't know what it's being used for. We do look at bottled water sales. And we, in fact, released yesterday that we've had our third consecutive year of incremental sales growth in that category, which is great. For FNV, similarly, we're looking at attitudes because of the way that FNV is launched. Drink Up, I think, is a little bit more retail-focused, a little more marketing-focused. FNV is more brand-focused. So there, it's attitudinal, it's shift, and what you saw and heard yesterday on the FNV panel was, what we've seen, at least in our first 11 months, is that 7 out of 10 of people who are aware of FNV said that they ate or purchased more fruits and veggies after seeing and hearing the campaign. So those sorts of metrics are exactly what we want to see. It tells us that we can push more of it out, that we're on the right track, that our messages are resonating correctly with our target audiences. And then we also look at the same time of overall tracking of, fruit and veggie sales from a national level, right? What is IRI seeing on their gross, levels? And can we look at that? Are there fruits and veggies we should be pushing more or pushing less based on where the consumer is looking? Are there sort of, one of the terms we've been playing with is this idea of a gateway fruit and veggie, right? Is there one thing that's the first one that you might try that might lead you down a path for others? And how do we sort of find those leverage points and drive towards them?
Well, your name itself, I mean, when you're talking about Partnership for a Healthier America, you obviously have a goal of a healthier America. I mean, that's it's hard to get that one to metrics, but you've got a lot of other things that you're identifying. And just from wrapping up, I want to ask you, if there is a company that happens to be hearing this particular podcast and they say, gosh, I want to figure out some way I get engaged, that I want to tie into this campaign somehow or use FNV, how do they get connected with you?
Sure. Well, I mean, just a quick email at info@ahealthieramerica.org would be perfectly fine, but we work closely with PMA. So if you're on that side, sort of working them into the conversation, and they know how to get a hold of us for sure with 2,200 members or whatever they're up to now, that's usually a good place to go. You know, even hit us at the press at ahealthieramerica.org website, email as well. I would encourage you to check out fnv.com and youarewhatyoudrink.org. Are two websites for those two Drink Up and FNV programs. You can certainly find us through there as well.
Well, I want to tell you, Drew, I really appreciate having this opportunity to talk to you. It's an exciting program, and a lot of people are rooting for you to be successful and hope we can help it along, too. So thanks for being on Farm to Table Talk.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining the Farm to Table Talk podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to listen regularly on SoundCloud or iTunes to Farm to Table Talk.